is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach here to help you create better life and better work. I help super successful people, you know, the recovering overachievers, put the soul back in their lives, and I help soulful people create success. On this show, topics range from the mystic to the logistic, and our content will support your being and your doing while on your path to create better life and better work. More is not better, better is better. I have Kristen Kaczynski here, and I was about to do some like green room talk with her, but I have a feeling it's going to be so good that they're going to want to listen. Yes, this is a part of the podcast, and then we'll officially start in a minute. Yesterday, I knew I had you booked for today. We scheduled that. Know that you do invisible warfare, emotional processing. Emotions are your superpower. I came and sat down at my computer. Actually, before I sat down at my computer, I was just really angry. Honestly, I was angry about all the political stuff going on. I was angry at an interaction I saw some people just being horrible to you on social media. I was just angry. And I've been playing with this thing. I think I'm thinking angry or I'm thinking sad. What do I really feel? Like, what are the sensations? And so more information than you need to know, but all of a sudden I'm feeling just this tension in my body. I'm feeling how I sense rage, and I turned on Dixie Chicks, "I'm Not Ready to Make Nice." And I just danced it out, and I'm not normally a dance it out kind of girl, but I was just like, I just need to move. And then I came back in and I sat down at my computer, and there's Kristen going live for Ragetober. Is that what it's called? Or Rage October?
But Ragetober is not bad. Angry October.
Angry October. And you're talking about doing this live about how to feel, how you allow yourself, these are my words, not yours, safely and appropriately feel anger. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I'm talking to her tomorrow. And just, I can't remember the day, but at some point, either last week or this week, I had done a post on about an insight that I've had, that depression is me pressing down my feelings and anxiety is me thinking my feelings instead of feeling them. And so that was the question most people, like that post, people really resonated it. It shared. They were like, oh my gosh, this really hit. But then the next question was, how do I feel my feelings? So y'all, that's what we're going to talk about today. I haven't even warmed up, Kristen.
I don't need to be warmed up.
I'm once again amazed at the magicness of the universe with that. And so let me hit share live on Facebook real quick for both of us. So did this in the wrong order, but it doesn't matter. While I'm sharing, introduce, but let's just go timeline and get that going.
If you share live on Facebook, can I share mine live on, can I do it or something?
Yeah, and I can tag you in it too, so it should show up on your feed. So audio listeners.
I don't have to do anything with the computer.
How to feel your feelings. Live recording of episode 66 with Super Soli. Kristen Kaczynski, and then I'm going to hit go live. I kind of like when we can be live and have this conversation, but we don't have to interact with the audience right now. We just get to interact with each other. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Let's see if then I can.
So for audio podcast listeners, or for those reading the transcript, I bet reading the transcript of this is going to be really exciting, but it's all good.
My page, will that make it go live in my page?
I think it's on your profile. If you allow people to tag you in things.
Let me see. I'm a little challenged. I'm challenged in many ways. That's why I have to do anger. That's why I have to do Angry October. I have no idea how to share this live on my I don't know.
You can go to my profile and then hit share from there.
Okay, I can hit share.
Yeah.
And write a post.
Yeah. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell people who you are.
Perfect.
So Kristen Kaczynski is a coach. She's a powerful coach. She does a lot of emotional processing work and helping people. She's a wild and fabulous creator. You were just telling me the other day, reminding me about a project, like an impossible project that you totally created and made things happen. She is a single mom of an adorable young man living in Santa Monica, California. I take also very personally and am very proud as a super soulie. So a super soulie is someone who's been in my program for a year. You have also done many high level coaching things, and you have made a little home here and even referred people. So you referred Nemo to our group, and it always makes me feel good knowing that I have all kinds of people, but especially when I have, the whole idea was like, we don't have to spend 10 gazillion million dollars. We can find a home. And so it makes me feel really good that you're a super soulie too. So here's what we're talking about. Actually, I want you to tell us in your words, what you do, what kind of coaching you do, and then we'll get into talking about, okay, now that we know we tend to avoid feeling our feelings, how can we actually begin to feel them?
Thanks for having me, Allison.
And I'm
a super soulie. It's wonderful to have a community to be with. So thank you for creating the community. So as a coach, I do a number of different things. But everything has a foundation dealing with emotional intelligence. So I coach women entrepreneurs, women in business, executives, and often it's about moving our businesses forward, wherever those businesses are, and feeling, you know, how are we living our life's purpose through the work that we're doing? And a key component of that is utilizing our emotional intelligence, because if we get into our feelings, we get super clear about what our purpose is and why we're here. You know, whether that's on a macro level or on a micro level. In addition to that, I also teach groups. I lead groups through a book called Invisible Warfare. And that book was written by Mona Miller, who was my teacher for many, many years. I worked with Mona for 12 years. She left the planet, and well, at least in the body she was in as Mona Miller in 2011. But fortunately, she created this incredible book, and it's all of the work that she taught me and all the tools that I use myself and get to teach other people.
I love that. And you know, my favorite, I love the container of helping people move their business forward, but the real work is the inner game, the thoughts and the emotions. And so you say that emotions are your superpowers. Tell us about that.
Well, emotions can work either way for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the work that I do myself personally, my personal development work and the work that I teach, we take those emotions, which often get a really bad rap. Yeah. Emotions get a real bad rap.
It's really discouraging. I see that, especially in the personal growth and a lot of times the spiritual growth. People are like, just trade up that thought.
Yeah. And it's like, well, unfortunately for me, I can't do that. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Oh, fuck yes.
Okay, good. I can't fucking do that. I don't. And what's really interesting for me is when I delved into this work myself personally, I was in my late 20s and I could not find somebody that could meet me where I needed to be, which was in a place where Like, yeah, I'm super emotional. Like, I'm an emotional person. I've got a lot of feelings and I didn't know what to do with them. Mm. Never taught how to process them because we're not taught how to process. Our families don't teach us how to process. Our churches don't teach us how to process. Our schools don't teach us how to process. Process, emotional processing is not taught generally. Generally, what people want to do is shove their emotions down, which we call suppression, right? And that's what you were talking about in your
book, right? I depressed them down.
So what does suppression lead to? Depression.
Mm.
So, which I probably suffered from my entire life, a low-grade depression.
I did too. I literally was 2 years ago when I recognized, I mean, I was clinically diagnosed with depression and anxiety in my 20s. And so I was like, yeah, I have depression and I know how to manage it, but I never got and really was able to start relieving the symptoms of depression until that I was depressing them down. It was like, oh. And then the opposite was overfeeling them. But it's just the awareness of what that was gave me an answer besides my little pill that I still take. But it gave me an answer of how to use it. I feel so tender for myself.
Well, and then you can be tender for the planet because it's what we're like when you look at what's happening in the political arena today, I'm like, if some of these people were processing their emotions, we would not be having these problems.
Yeah.
Like the world would be a whole different place.
Oh yeah.
One, I don't know if I even asked your question, but we go to one way or the other.
Yeah.
We either implode or we explode. Mm. So if we're not processing our emotions, we're either, they're going in and we're hurting ourselves and we're end up, you know, get cancer, heart disease, whatever. We get diseased level. Or maybe it's just like for me, my major disease leading up to starting to do emotional processing was severe panic disorder.
Mm.
My disease was like this, like constant fear of, you know, I'm going to die. That manifested in my body because I was so emotionally suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then what that led to was like a lot of, you know, addiction or addictive behaviors that suppress. So, you know, over drinking, over eating, over, you know, sugar, whatever that is. That I would say in my teens and 20s, my choice was to overdrink. Later on in my life, it's become to eat what I'm not supposed to eat. So it's like, I know when I'm not eating, when I'm supposed to be eating, I'm suppressing my emotions. Or what people do, and we see this like in this, I was talking about this a bit yesterday, is the explosion. So people get super, and they're not processing, then they're like freaking out, right?
Yeah.
Like they're having road rage. They're abusing people they know or don't know in their lives. You know, it's going outward. It's the explosion. Or you look completely hysterical. Then you're just like a total shit show. Like can't get your shit together. And then people are like, what is wrong with her? Like why can't you act together? Right. So I have a really beautiful story. You can stop me if you want to.
No, go. This is wonderful.
When I started doing this kind of work, I didn't totally get, I couldn't see my inside self. I knew I was fucked up. But I presented really well. I was an executive at Paramount and network television. I lived in a great place in Santa Monica. I had amazing friends. Like I traveled the world. Like I had a good life, but inside I was like, So I'd go to like therapy and they'd be like, you're fine. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm fine. I'm not okay. Like I am fucked up. Like I knew I was fucked up, but I couldn't find someone to meet me on my fucked upness. So what was really beautiful, I met Mona Miller and day one, I was like, oh my God, she's getting down and dirty with her emotions, which means she can lead me to get down and dirty with mine because we can only take people as far as we're actually willing to take ourselves, right? So one day, I mean, a year or two into this, and I was still trying to figure it all out, like what my inner fucked upness was, learning these processing skills, I met a woman who was also a client of Mona's. And on the outside, she was hysterical. Like she was completely, she was like almost non-functioning. Like her hair was in her face, slobber was coming down. Like she was, I was like, oh my lands. Now, I thank God every day for her because it was the visual I needed to understand what was happening on my insides because I could see it on her outside.
Oh, that's huge. Right. And we consciously push it down so that we can't see how we're destroying our insides. I was mostly depressed, but I would be so pressed down that if something would happen, I would end up raging.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually had a rage experience with my current husband where I now know that I was terrified he was going to leave, but it was much easier to rage than it was to feel scared. I didn't even know I was scared, but we'd gotten some Pottery Barn thick glass vase full of rocks, like you put a candle in it. And I picked one of those things that probably weighs 15 pounds and I aimed it at him. And then I turned and threw it through the wall. And in my brain, it would hit the wall and break. It went straight through the wall. And it was a wake-up call, though. But it was a wake-up about something's out of control here. And he was like, yeah, no, that's violence and it's not going down. But it was, so it really turned out beautiful because that was the beginning of me. That was the first time I went and I was like, I'm not angry. What did I feel that caused the anger? And I realized, oh, I'm terrified you're going to leave. And that was the first time I'd asked a deeper question of what's really going on instead of giving it either the rage or the depression, what's really going on. And that started a whole new path of being courageous, of being just an owner. Anyways, keep talking. I want to hear more of this goodness.
Thank God for you. You use that experience to create a consciousness and an awareness around.
Well, I'm not proud of it. You know, I think that's the other thing. We had a conversation on one of the calls we did today in the group, and we were talking about money, and I'm so about humanity. We all have our fucked upness in certain ways. And just because I'm a leader or you're a leader or we've done these great things and have these good jobs and whatever it is doesn't mean we don't have a mess that we're working on. And mess is human. I think that's part of why we suppress emotions. Like someone says, people say you shouldn't stop that crying bullshit. Oh, you're not supposed to feel that. Don't let anybody see you sweat kind of stuff. So how do we feel our emotions?
So it's
a process. I'm using the
as you're saying that. Interesting. I just had this experience with my son this weekend because I practice emotional processing. I teach it. I work with my son on it. Like children are such a great teacher with this because we see what children do. Like children get upset and sometimes it's about things that seem really inane. You know, you took something away from them and they get super upset. And they then have like a complete meltdown, right? And it looks like maybe screaming, it might be physical hitting, and it like sobbing, crying, right? And then what happens, like after they have their whole fit, like they have their total temper tantrum, then they're like, the sun comes out, the clouds are lifted, the birds are chirping. Like, it's amazing. So, like, but generally, as parents, we all have a really hard time holding that space for children to, like, just be in that container of, like, having a fucking meltdown, right? Mm-hmm. We all need to take that cue from children because we know what the other side is. When they go through it, they don't go under their feelings. They don't go above their feelings. Mm-hmm. They go through their feelings. And when they come out on the other side, they're like, hey, what's for lunch? Can I go whatever? You know, like they're totally fine. It is not in their bodies. But then we teach them to not do that, right? Because because as parents, it's super uncomfortable to sit in it because if we're not comfortable with our discomfort and our feelings, how can we possibly hold the space for our children's discomfort, right? Mm. So what we do as parents is we say, stop it. We're trying to push down our own feelings and emotions. We're trying to push down our children's And then they learn to stop processing their emotions. So it's like, wasn't there a book like All I Ever Knew?
Kindergarten, yeah.
That's it. So we take that cue. So that's what we have to do. So it's not socially acceptable for us to have temper tantrums when we're at the office, when we're out to dinner with our loved ones. Like, that's not appropriate. So what we do is we have temper tantrums when we do emotional processing. We choose a time and a place and a safe spot to have our temper tantrum. Mm. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. It just, you're putting it in a container. So for me yesterday, it was dance. And it's a container that doesn't wound anybody else, doesn't threaten anybody else, like picking up a big glass full of rocks. That, you know, the other analogy you said about kids is they don't carry the guilt and shame of that temper tantrum afterwards either, because they've just moved the sensations through their body. And I think because this is my hypothesis, you're the expert in this, I'm still so early in this journey, but my hypothesis is we think the feelings instead of letting the sensations move through us. And when, and because we're thinking them instead of sensating them, that's, then we carry the guilt, whereas the child just lets it move through. And yeah, it has words or it has sounds and it has thoughts with it, but really they're just doing the sensational. I'm making a distinguish between sensation and feeling, because I feel like the word feeling is misrepresented in these conversations. So it's processed, which means the sensations move through. I'm repeating myself.
And the thing is that if we believe in the mind-body connection, everything's in our body, right?
Yes.
So the reason we have to move is that we have to get it out of our body, because otherwise it gets stuck in our body, literally.
Right.
That's where disease comes in, right?
Right.
So, and the thing is, if we stay, this is why I have kind of my own personal opinion about talk therapy when we're just talking all the time. Or even talk coaching. It could be the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very intellectual. So it becomes intellectual over processing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like we're getting off on our ideas and our thinking, but we're not getting beneath this.
Mm-hmm.
Staying above the neck.
And how many times this last week, you are at least on one of these calls where clients didn't even realize they were doing it. They were like, I'm all up here.
Yeah.
Or one of them says, I can only get here. And for those listening, what Kristen and I are both doing is we're using our hands flat to contain our heads. From the bottom of the chin to the top of our heads, like we're all up in our heads. And when we drop in, what's your body feeling? What's your body telling you? I'm with you. For years, I've done talk therapy and talk coaching and mindset coaching. And I love mindset coaching. But bringing in sensation, bringing in body awareness, and beginning to learn how to feel feelings, allowing my clients to feel feelings, holding a container for people to sob and cry without apology. I love when somebody comes and emotes on a call, but I've been in a lot of containers where that shit was shut down too. So yeah, it makes so much sense. So you were sharing yesterday an example of the way you deal with anger. Can you give us an example of, like you said, we have a temper tantrum on purpose? Like, what does that look like when you're working with a client, or that our listeners or watchers, how can they feel their tantrum?
So let me explain a little bit,
please,
about why we need to get into our bodies, mm-hmm. as opposed to like staying in our head.
Yep.
Is that at the end of the day, and Mona explains this really well in Invisible Warfare, I might not do it justice, but I'll try. And I've done the work for so long, I can feel it. Sometimes my articulation may not be as good as it could be. But we are half spirit and half animal.
Mm.
And the animal part of us, it's visceral. It needs to move. Because That's what animals do, right? They move. And we're animals. We need to move our body. That's why in like your dancing, that worked. You could get rid of that anger, right? Like, there's another piece where we need to attach words to it, because that's where the clarity and the wisdom comes from, and it doesn't stay in our head. Yeah. If you get the words while you're dancing, then you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't, like all of a sudden the words start coming. So interestingly, what I just, in terms of that visual experience, one of my clients asked me, we were doing a group the other day, and she's like, how do I celebrate? She had just taken her last test, her PhD, right? Like, this has been a lifelong of education. She's like, I want to celebrate, but I want to celebrate without alcohol and food, because I don't want to suppress my feelings. I want to really feel them. Mm. And what we did was, I was like, let's have a dance party. Like, and I was on, it was a group call. We put on the music. She chose her song. We all like rocked out. And it's like, oh my lands. Like, she truly got to celebrate. She got to celebrate. Mm. So, in terms of anger, so we need to move our body when it comes to all kinds of emotions, right? I'm just moving my body thinking about it. What happens in processing? There's this idea of either go after it or it comes after us, right? When you threw that vase, it came after you, right? And my guess is, if I was coaching you, it's about, you saw that before. Someone taught you that, to do that, right?
Oh, yeah. I learned explosive anger.
Very well. I did too. Which is cool, because I know how to get in touch with my anger. I just need to do it in the most responsible way. So, because some people say to me, someone said to me yesterday, Kristen, what do I do if I can't, I'm not angry? I was like, bullshit. I mean, how can you be alive on this planet and not get upset about something?
Right.
That's an impossibility. So, but I'll say, I understand that some people are so detached from their anger that they can't, they have a hard time getting there. So then we have to just pretend, like we have to act as if we're angry. Right. You know, it's like that whole, I liken the processing work to improvisational theater.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm just making the shit up.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm making the shit up, then the truth starts coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Even today when I was doing my processing, I was like, it was okay. I mean, I was having feelings because and I think the reason that I can do this and I can teach it is that I'm a really big feeler. And feeling is definitely on a spectrum. Some people are more bigger feelers than others, but we're all still here on the planet. So we all have some, we're not dead. We only no longer have feelings when we're no longer alive.
Right.
But we all have feelings. So go after it. So the processing is the act of going after it instead of throwing the vase against the wall or beating yourself up or beating somebody else up, whether that be physically or emotionally or verbally or whatever that is. And we have all done it on some level somehow.
Yeah. One of my followers, who's a friend from college, when I had written that post about depression or anxiety, she was like, oh my gosh, this is so true. And one way or another, it catches up with you. And so we're meeting it before it meets us. Yeah. We're going after it before it goes after us. It's a perfect way to put it.
That's why, you know, this daily process or weekly process or whatever it is, like I've committed myself to a daily process for Angry October because I know that my life will transform. Like it's, and from a chemical, alchemical perspective, it has to, because I'm getting the shit out of my body. Like I'm transforming my body. Therefore, the external manifestation will be transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I don't know what it is. And actually, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And I know that from day to day, I just feel better when I do it.
Yeah. You're not, I mean, think about all the energy, mind, body, spirit, all the things that you've released from your system. They're not constricted in your energy. They're not constricted in your muscles. They're not put on the back burner in your mind. They have, and you've moved through them.
So we call it, and I know that you've heard this before, I call it emotional pooping,
mm-hmm.
right? Like yeah. What happens every day, or if you don't poop during a day?
It's miserable.
Horrible. Like there is nothing worse than constipation. You become toxic and stuff,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because there's shit in your body that is not, it's hurting your body, not helping your body. And so it is the exact same thing with emotional processing, it is the emotional poop. Just as we need to physically poop every day.
Yeah, elimination.
That word, my son's like, do we have to call it poop? Can't we just call it shit? I'm like, well.
You're teaching your son well.
So we all need to, just as we need to take a poop, a physical poop, we have to take an emotional poop. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, it's an exercise, an emotional poop.
Well, seriously, and we're either constipated or we've got diarrhea, and neither one of those are pleasant.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Constipation or diarrhea, but that would be the implosion or the explosion.
Yep. Perfect analogy. We've all had both.
No. What can I tell you about how, do you want me to tell you more about the actual process?
I have one question. I want to hear about the actual process because I would love for listeners and watchers to be able to go away with even a simple process for how to feel something. So right now we're kind of focusing on this anger, but it also works like for sadness too, right?
Well, the idea is that the reason we go, we call it anger work.
Okay.
Is that often all the other feelings are beneath the anger.
Okay.
The anger, because anger is the, even though it gets a bad rap, anger is a much more acceptable feeling than most other feelings that we have, right. Except unless those feelings that are like looked at as negative feelings.
Right.
I'm not talking, we could process joy. Like we process the celebration with my client, right. Celebration. Right. But, typically, when we're going to the mat initially to mine the negative feelings. Right. And I'm using that because it's like they're not, none of them are really that anyway. It's all in that continuum. So, but anger sits on top of sadness.
Okay.
Fear. Remember, you threw the thing. You were afraid.
Yeah.
You got angry first. So anger is, it can be a lead in. And interestingly, okay. When I started processing, I had a tendency to go to victim. The pitiful pearl. And in pitiful pearl, I was like always sad. Like just, I could go to sadness really easily. And so part of my direction was actually to embrace my anger. Mm. That's where I could get super powerful.
Yeah, that is like, that hits me. Like it's easier for me to be sad than it is to be angry. This is a hypothesis. I can't speak for men. Maybe it's the opposite for men. It's easier for them to be angry than sad. It's not easy for me to be angry because sad was an acceptable, well, sort of acceptable emotion. But anger, then I was just being volatile like my parents. Yeah. I didn't want to be like that.
It got you something. And I got victim. So at least I got to feel sorry for myself,
mm-hmm.
Which is super disempowering, right? Like,
yeah.
Then you're powerless, like on the scale, then... You're powerless. You're powerless when you're sad and victim. When you're angry, you're powerful. So it's like where those two meet is where you get empowered, like in the middle, right? The balance of that is empowered. So we then be able to embrace our anger and our sadness to become empowered, to get that middle that, you know, right, that you have to, the pendulum, right? The pendulum swings. And so you can't just do all sad or do all angry. We have to do a combination of both of them. So oftentimes I would go to the mat, I call it my anger space, and I would just want to do sadness. And it was like, I had to hold on to the anger. Or I'd do like two hits of like, fuck you. And then I'd be like, ah! And it's like, I had to hold on to the fuck you. Cause it's where that's my, like in here in this soul power. It's where like, I'm like a beast and I'm strong and I'm like, I need that.
Yeah.
Like and that is where in here in the solar plexus, that's where our passion lives.
Yeah.
If we're not connected to our anger, we're not going to be connected to our passion.
No. And desire. I remember Rich always saying underneath anger is desire. And if we feel flatlined, it's not just that we're not feeling desire. We're not feeling that resentment, that anger, that frustration. It's both, right? So I can see how anger is the portal to unleashing desire, unleashing passion. I just lisped. Okay. You actually have an anger space in your house?
Pardon?
You have a space? Like
I do it in my living room. I do it wherever. The thing is that if I'm doing it like full blown, it's really loud, which I love to do. And it's hard because I actually live in a building with other people. Back in the day, I got
Need to have anybody calling you for abusing your son.
Right. At the same time, I think everyone needs it. So actually, if they have an issue with that, I can explain it to them. And I'll say, hey, you want to try it? So today, I usually do it in my living room. I feel like that's where it's least noisy for my neighbors. But today I went into my son's bedroom because he was in my room. So like, depending on what I want to do with it, I mix it around. And then it was so sweet. He came in and he's like, knock, knock. I was like, hi. And he was just like, and he laid down with me. And I was crying. I was fully crying, like holding a thing. And he's like, what's going on? And then I got to kind of debrief. And then I asked him some questions that kind of came up for my inner child when I was doing the processing. So a big part of the processing too, which I want to mention, is that there's a big piece where we want to get to is I remember when this reminds me of we want to go back to the past, because whenever we're having big feelings, we are time traveling. Mm. So generally in life, we are constantly time traveling. In the processing work, we're going after the time traveling instead of letting it come after us. Mm-hmm. So at some point in my processing, I either might just have an intuitive flash or I'll ask myself, what does this remind me of? This reminds me of, this reminds me of, this reminds, and then I'll have the flash. And then sometimes I'll see yesterday I mentioned, like, I'm always in high school when I have my flash. Like, it was a super fucked up triggering time for me in my life. So I'm often having to process high school, right? So then I'll go back to high school and then I'll let my 16-year-old self have her go at it. Like, then it's no longer 50-year-old Kristen. It's 16-year-old Kristen. And she gets to cry and get upset about whatever happened because I didn't get to cry and get upset and be supported when I was 16 because my parents didn't know how to process.
Yeah. So you're reparenting all the little ones inside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With my son, when I go back, then I'm trying to I'm like, oh my gosh. See, and I was like, where do you not feel understood? He came in, I was like, is there a place in your life right now where you're not feeling understood? And then it'll be like, mom, again. Like, but then, and it was interesting. So then I had this conversation with him today and he was like, yeah, you know, and it was funny because it wasn't what I thought it would be. He was like, you know, sometimes at school, like I'm always getting in trouble for things that like, I didn't actually do it. You know, and he's like, I feel super misunderstood about it. So then I get to hold the space for him and have that conversation with him. So it benefits our relationships, right? Because then suddenly we have an understanding of ourselves. We can understand others. We have an articulation for it because we better understand it.
But you're also benefiting by teaching and sharing this. You are changing generational, social lineage. Mm. His relationships in the future, your grandchildren, if he ever has kids, you know, God bless our parents who were doing the best, and we're doing the best we can as parents, but knowing this information and having access to these, you know, to this work that you're doing, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I agree.
It's so needed. Just out of that post, so many people have the same experience of depression or anxiety. You know, whatever on the spectrum of it is. And there in the center is this actually being able to appropriately and lovingly feel our stuff. So can you take us, I realize I'm asking a lot of you because this is, you know, this is long-term work you do with people, but
I know, but I love this.
But right? You have a process. So like if you're committed to do it daily, it's also not. Yeah. So can you take us through a process?
So, what's the best way to do this? So that actually is best shared, which maybe we can do at some point, actually physically showing you. I think it's super powerful because you can see it. I think it's hard for some people to watch because when I'm doing my process, I'm crazy. But I'm okay because I'm taking care of myself and I'm connected. I know what happens on the other side of it. So what happens is what I do is I've got a lot of tools. So where's my bat? Hold on 1 second, okay?
Yeah.
I got materials.
She's getting her back.
Actually, I'm away.
And while she's doing that, so Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Kosinski, K-O-S-I-N-S-K-I, you can follow her on Facebook. And obviously in the show notes, we're going to, I'll actually upload this video too. You'll be able to see it on my wall, her wall, but we'll link all her stuff up. But she is doing this Anger October.
Angry October.
Angry October every day. I'm going to come be angry with you. I love it.
Okay, I'm going to get some of the materials that are over here. Okay, just so I can show you. I'm all about visual. Okay, so I'll look at this too. I'll show you this. Okay, so now you can do a lot of different, use a lot of different materials. I'm going to tell you what my faves are. Like back in the day, I went like in an alley and found like an old couch cushion, wrapped it with electrical tape. And then I got this bat, which I love that I still have this bat. This bat has seen a lot of tears and a lot of anger. This is before I had a son. Now we got a lot of bats in the house. So literally, you need a bat. You can also use a tennis racket. And really, one of my new personal faves is a paddle tennis racket because it's a short handle. Okay. I don't know. It just feels like more, there's something about it I really liked. My mother's a paddle tennis player. So I did that when I was in her house. I don't have one here. I don't play paddle tennis. So my newest favorite thing to, anything will do. Like you could do, literally, I'm getting this off my couch. You could do a couch cushion. Like a
cushion. Yeah. I think we can all imagine, like, the idea is you have your bat and you have something safe to hit. Something that you're not going to.
Something you can't break and you can't hurt yourself when you're hitting it.
Yeah.
Because when our anger does come up, we could hurt ourselves if we're not safe.
Right.
Safety is super important. So when we go to hit something, you don't go back here. You always go from here in front of you and hit. And then my favorite thing is the yoga bolster. I'm going to ruin the yoga bolster doing using it, but I love it so much. It's relatively new and super dense, and it doesn't make as much noise as some other things. And I'm trying to be conscious of my neighbors. So basically what we do is literally when you start your process, I'm just going to do it in front of me here. I've got the bolster in my lap. We start hitting and using words. I can share this with you too. Part of what we do is there's a process where it's like, I'm so mad because, I'm so sad because, I'm fuck you because, I'm embarrassed because. So often if people are having a hard time getting to their feelings, they can write before they start the process to kind of rev their engines up. I do morning pages most mornings. So like today I wrote for half an hour and then I did processing.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it starts to bring it up. Yesterday I just did a what the fuck page and I just started writing all my what the fucks. And then I went and danced and I've never done both. I just have never done that. And I normally stop at just the what the fuck in the journal. And so
it'd be cool if while you're dancing, you're like, fuck you or fuck me.
Well, that's why I love that song. I'm not ready to make nice. Like it's Dixie Chicks back when Bush was president and they said he's not our president. And they had all their fans just totally, you know, people stamping on things and she got death threats. And it was fascinating because I saw the Dixie Chicks came to Austin within the last 2 years and I have those same feelings about our current politics. Our current politics has been a gift to me in the sense that it brings up a lot of really latent anger, rage, fear. I just am so fucking confused. And so I was at that concert and she sang that song. She's 40 feet in front of me and I'm feeling every bit of it. And it just felt so good to sing the words of the song that are like, fuck you, I'm not ready to make nice. I know you want me to be polite, but I'm hurt. Yeah.
And that's the cool thing is you don't have to make nice.
Exactly.
Okay. You don't want to be an asshole, but you don't have to make nice either. So anyway, writing helps getting the wheels turning. I don't actually usually need to do writing myself. I can go right to the mat. And we just start using our words and hitting the, that could be a lot, hitting the pillow. Fuck you. One of them is you ruin my life because when it comes up with somebody that you're angry with, we start this. And then we just, it's like improvisational theater.
Okay.
That you just go with it. There's no plan. You just go with the feelings. And all of a sudden, you might feel like all of a sudden sadness comes. Mm-hmm. And they could be, I'm so sad because I switch over to my hand. If you're hitting with your dominant hand, that's the adult self. The inner child hits with the non-dominant hand.
Okay.
So I usually switch fast because I can get to my little girl really quick. And then like she gets smaller. Usually I'm not usually angry when I'm little, but sometimes, I mean, can be anything. And then I might not even hit that hard, but I'm just moving my body.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'm really going after it. Like if I'm pissed, I'm like, I go at it like 150%. Like I am an angry, crazy lady. I let the angry, crazy lady, like the crazy voices come out. I let them, I don't hold them back. I might hold them back in life because I need to for my self-preservation. But when I'm doing emotional processing work,
this is an appropriate, safe, and contained, focused, in my journal, a lot of times I'll literally draw a square around it because I'm intending that it not leak and that it be an appropriate place to put my shadow work, but that my shadow work deserves its own sacred place. And yours is this fucking pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then after I do my process, and it is interesting to be able to see a process, maybe we'll do it one day. I've been playing with that idea. It's pretty vulnerable to do it in front of a large
group. Yeah, absolutely.
I've done it with groups for sure, but to do it like in an open group where it's not all people that you know or you don't even know is watching is, I'm not there yet. So a couple of the things I have for tools is I have this. I've kind of gotten really into this thing. It's just like it was a new pillow that I never used before. And so sometimes after we do the anger part and we're kind of getting to our inner child or we're feeling sad, like I like to have this and then I can walk with it and hold it while I'm crying or mm-hmm. just feeling sad. I just, it's that, you know, and then you're kind of giving yourself that love that you maybe didn't get that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Holding that. I also have a bunny that was mine from my last three.
Aww.
And then I always have my notebook with me. Maybe I have my notebook because I've written some stuff out and I want to use that as my process. When I process with clients, I actually will, I'll sit and hold the space and I'll say, I'll give them like things to start. Like I'll be like, fuck you. Or, you know, or certain people's names that I know that they have, or
right.
When I know they're turning into sadness, but they can't feel it, I'll be like, you know, I'll coach them through like getting to the next level based on whatever is coming up for them. So I actually like walk them through the process and hold the space for the process. But you could simply do with a rinse sheet that I have that I can share with you. You can just use the rinse sheet and go through that and have that next to you.
Okay. So
what am I feeling next? And it is a playful thing. It's a playful experience. This is playing.
Okay. Yeah. Like
your emotions. And I don't mean that in like you're fucking with them. You're just giving them a play. Like, this is my playground.
Right.
I'm playing here. And in that playing, a lot of stuff comes up.
Yeah. Everything's allowed.
Yeah.
And it's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to offend anybody. But it's not staying in your body. It's not attaching itself and creating cancer cells in your body. It's not building up a pressure cooker that comes out on the wrong person on the wrong day and at the wrong time. It's sacred fucking holy processing of natural. That's why I call them shadow emotions. I cannot call them negative.
Yeah, shadow is a good word to use.
Shadow. And I still have that, you know, I catch myself saying negative, but even that, like, that's the whole point. There are no negative. They're shadow. And better out than in. And better out in an appropriate way.
When we play with that, when we play with our shadow emotions, it's this piece where it's like, as dark as our darkness is as light as our light.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get like, when you embrace and go after your shadow self, your lightness is that much brighter. I get to feel sheer joy because I'm willing to go towards my absolute darkness.
Mm.
I get that. I get to have that because of what I'm willing to do. So when I'm feeling like, and I don't mean like in a I got high kind of way. I mean like in a natural high kind of way. Like right, I get to live that because I'm going to the darkness. I'm not denying my darkness.
It's, we're not taught to deal the discomfort of that. And last year at Camp Starheart, our theme was becoming, and Kendra came and did some embodiment work, and it was really new and really shocking for a lot of people. And I've been playing with this concept of both, and like I can be both confident and wildly insecure. I can both be, I even sent a message to a client yesterday. I am like, I meditated more and I drank more today. It's so true, right? Like both and, but what I love, what I'm learning in this journey that I'm in right now, I'm calling it the journey of range. Yeah. And for me, my emotional processing tool was expressive arts.
Mm.
And so when I worked with Chris Seidel, I thought I was just going to go paint. I told her, I said, I don't need the training. I just need to go paint with the old ladies in the woods. I had no idea what I was in for. And she sets up, when you do expressive art versus painting for product, there is no compliments of the painting. There is no talking amongst your other people. There is no music. There is no alcohol. It is you in the canvas. And I had some of those rage moments. And the other thing is the canvas is, you throw it away at the end. You don't keep it. It's not meant to be sold. It's not meant to be valued for anything other than holding your emotions. And so that was my first experience in allowing myself to feel all these feelings. And I learned that as I was able to feel these shadow things, my joy also got better. My depression literally went away. Like I said, I had to deal with anxiety because now I'm over feeling everything. But I, that was like, it was such a fascinating experience to, and it still is because I'm in it, of like, oh, having the mental cognitive coachy awareness. And then instead of just leaving it there, dropping into my body. And I look forward to experimenting and learning more about doing some of this embodied way of feeling. And so let me see if I can, if you were to clarify it into steps. So create a safe space for yourself, both physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some journal writing to get you going. And then have a pillow and a bat or a stick, something that won't break, something that you can't hurt yourself or anything else.
And you can either use a batting glove too, because sometimes like holding something can, you know, hurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. A batting glove so that you don't get calluses and stuff. And then you just begin. And you weren't even like right now. So you said you can get crazy, but you literally just start out.
Sometimes I don't, sometimes I don't have a lot of fuel. Like I'm not feeling mm-hmm. like upset about something. And then it might be that. Now I have some sense memory because yeah. I've done it all. Right. Yeah. So I, not always though, because sometimes like even today when I started, I was like, I don't know what's going to go on. And then next thing I know, I was like fully, you know, like convulsively crying. It's amazing how that works. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel big, or sometimes right. I'm pissed and I'm going at it and I am like, fuck you. I'm going after somebody and I'm annihilating them.
Awesome.
You know, their face is on my thing. And that never goes to them. I don't do that energy to them.
Yeah.
For me. Also, another piece is what we can do is if we want to scream, because I think that's really beneficial, mm-hmm. you can scream into a pillow like this pillow, and you can scream into a pillow. When you scream into a pillow, you really can't hear it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can hear it, but the world around you can't. So again, it's a safe and appropriate place to get it. That is another important part. So it's not just the hitting of the pillow. It's like, fuck you. It hurt. You said you had some sentence stems that you would share with us. Like it hurt.
Words because
I was pissed off at you. Yeah.
The words solidify it. The words will take you on a trip that you don't know that you're going on. The words are like it's breadcrumbs to the clarity, to the insight. Mm-hmm. So you're like saying something, you're like, oh my lands. I had no idea that I felt that way. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Cause then you can hear yourself. Attaching your words to it is such an important piece of it. Being vocal is super important, whether you're just talking or you're screaming. I do both. Sorry for my neighbors when I'm screaming.
Well, and then so after that, does it exhaust itself kind of naturally, or do, cause then you go into that soothing with
how I usually know sort of when I'm done, like right. I just feel it. Intuitively, I think when you're first starting out, setting a timer makes sense. Actually, I have a timer. This is a timer out here. Look how cute. And it's an owl. You know, my dad's my owl. Mm-hmm. So I have a timer. You can put a timer on your phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think a timer is good. Like, oh, I'm going to commit to 5 minutes of processing every day.
How many minutes?
Five.
Five.
I mean, okay. You can do two, you can do five, you can do 30.
Right.
So, and then at the end, when you've decided you're complete, really important piece is to write, I just learned and I feel.
I just learned and I feel.
Yeah. So it's okay. left brain, right brain.
Right.
What did I learn? How do I feel? Because what happens a lot of times is like, you're going to get the chemical change that happens no matter what. But sometimes what we learn can be fleeting.
Yeah.
And you're writing that down for yourself. So you remember, oh my, like, it's like a dream sometimes, you know, when I wake up, it's like, oh, I remember my dream. And then like 2 hours into the day, I've forgotten what it was, even though it felt really profound in the moment. And so it can be sort of a dreamy state sort of thing. So it's good to remember like, oh, that's,
yeah,
I forgot like how powerful I am.
Right.
Whatever.
That I'm safe, that I'm okay, how powerful I am. I love that. That's the other thing too, you know, from being my client, I like the official opening and closing of a container. It feels very sacred. It went to not just know that we're complete, but to give ourselves, our body, mind, spirit, and the universe a loving sign that we are. So on coaching calls, we check out. To give ourselves a fight. And the checkout is usually, what did you learn? But I love that. Maybe we'll even add that to our group. What's your takeaway and what do you feel? And that's it. I mean, it's not really that simple, but.
You do it. You just do it every day. That's it.
You just do it every day. Well, and I'm new to this too. You know, I'm thinking of all those people that responded to that post just about depression and anxiety. I'm thinking to all the people, I mean, literally the news lady said this week, oh, it's going to be 100 degrees again in Austin. And I don't normally do this, but I turned around and was like, fuck you, to the TV. Exactly. And I realized like, I've got something in there that wants to come out, and it's not just about 100 degree heat. And so just permission. So I want to wrap up because we've been going for an hour. I feel like we could talk about this. We could do examples. It's so valuable. And I'm so glad that you're doing this work. How can people watch you, get a hold of you? What's the best way to find out more about you and your work?
Well, they could follow me on Facebook because I'm doing Angry October. So there'll be a lot of conversation around this specifically. Mm-hmm. And it's Kristen Kosinski, KristenKosinski. I'm sure that's how you find me on Facebook. I don't know. My website doesn't really explain this much, but if you're curious, more curious about me and my background and all that stuff, you can go to my website, which is www.KristenKosinski.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at Kristen@KristenKosinski.com.
Perfect. And we'll put all those in the
show. Love talk about this stuff. So if anyone wants to talk about it, bring it on. This is what turns me on.
I notice that my own heart is open and tender. And as loving as I can be, I also know, so my word of the year for the last 5 years has been open-hearted. And as loving as I can give out, I know that I also have a very closed off, it's getting better and better all the time. But part of it is the beauty of this work of learning how to feel and not shaming it, blaming it, guilting it, or vomiting or throwing something at somebody that shouldn't. And I just know that this part of the work that many of us do, when we're keeping all that coachy stuff up above our chin, we're doing ourselves and our families and our communities a service. And so it really is sacred. And I'm so honored that you spent time with me today. I'm honored to have you in the community and sharing your wisdom and your processing. And I love that you are doing Angry October for us. Perfect timing for you to be on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Love you.
I love you too.
And I'm sure I'll see you sometime this week.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Hey, I made something for you. Over at AllisonCrow.com, you can get my new and updated booklet called Finding Your Feel Good for people who want soulful success. Simple tools and practices for finding your feel good in an overwhelming world. It's short, it's quick, and it's powerful, and I know you'll love it. AllisonCrow.com is where you can find it. As always, thanks for listening. I totally appreciate you thinking about somebody who might really love this episode and you sharing it with them. Also, I always appreciate your reviews. It's like podcast currency. It's like a tip in the jar saying thanks. And finally, if you want to share on social media a screenshot or any insights you get from listening to this episode, I will totally respond. You can share with the hashtag #BetterLifeBetterWorkShow. This show is sponsored by my three rescued dogs, Leroy Brown, Clementine, and Rocky Potato. They're here to remind you to consider adoption when you get your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.